All right, let's move ahead. Our next panelist is Wilfrida Momonye. She's a health informatics fellow at the University of Nairobi Institute of Tropical and Infectious Diseases in collaboration with the University of Washington and sponsored by CDC. Wilfrida.
Hi everyone, my name is Wilfrida Mora Momanyi, as you've been told. I'm a fellow at the University of Nairobi Institute of Tropical and Infectious Diseases in collaboration with the University of Washington, Seattle. And previously I was working with Teacher Service Commission Kenya, not in the health sector. This is a body that solely employs teachers in Kenya. I've been involved in the implementation of the patient payroll, personnel payroll database, and also the integrated finance database in TAC. And my interest in research in health started when I was doing my Master of Science in Information System Engineering from the University of Sunderland, UK, when I realized that there's a gap in our country that needed to be filled. Okay, now, the outline of my presentation is, maybe I'll give you in a nutshell the vision, mission, and goal of Purpose Healthcare or Health Management Information System in Kenya, and also the levels of public healthcare in Kenya, the data storage in public health sector in Kenya, the goals of HMIS, integration of disparate system and use of GIS, and the conclusion. The vision and mission of public health in Kenya. The vision of public health in Kenya is to make Kenya a nation free from preventable diseases and ill health through primary health care interventions at individual, household, community, and primary health facility levels. Our mission is to provide effective leadership and participate in provision of quality public health and sanitation services that are equitable, responsive, accessible, and accountable to Kenyans. What are the levels of public health in Kenya? The levels of public health in Kenya are 6, starting from the first level at the bottom. Under the community-based health management information system, we have the community. Between the community and the dispensary, there is a gap that needs an interface. It doesn't mean that there is a disconnect between the community and the dispensary. What it means that in Kenya, because of the different, it's a developing country. We find that some areas, like along the coastal region, they involve community health workers. That's the CHUs when they are doing their interventions. But in other areas, especially where I was brought up, we start from the level 2, that's the dispensary, the health center, and then we move up to the national level. How does data and information flow within the different levels of public health care? The data flows from the community through the dispensaries, the health centers, the hospitals, to the district, all the way to the national level. And then there is always feedback again to the ground. What about the health information system, which is our focus now? What's the mission and the vision of the health information system in Kenya? The vision is to be a center of excellence for quality health and health-related data and information for use by all. The goal is to establish a functional, robust, effective, and efficient health information system. The mission is to provide timely, reliable data and accessible quality health service information for evidence-based decision-making in order to maximize utilization of scarce resources. With this as the background. Now I can give you an overview of what is on the ground, the current state of the data storage in the health sector in Kenya. Our data, the way it's normally stored, it's in silos. You can see we have a silo of patient records, a silo of community data, pharmacy, facility data, and laboratory. Now, there is always the question, are we going to meet our vision, our mission, and the goals that I've taken you through with such a situation? And another question we can ask ourselves, why do we have the silos? How do they emerge? As you all can remember, with the emergence of HIV and AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa, attention was drifted from other programs of healthcare to HIV and AIDS. And we tended like of to concentrate more on HIV, and we kind of forgot other integrated programs. This brought in a lot of partners like CDC, USAID, ICAP, you name them. Each comes with his or her own system to manage its own program. Now, the government diverted attention from other programs to that of HIV and AIDS. Now, with more than one partner in a single facility, what do you expect? If there is a partner whose concern is on care and management of HIV and AIDS, there's another one concerned with the logistics of drugs to the same patients. They each come with their own information systems. The country, as Kenya as a country, does not really lack the national guidance on HIS implementation. What I mean in this point is that when the partners came in, we kind of delayed as a country to implement our electronic medical records strategies and systems. So we were overtaken by events in terms of the silos are on the ground with different partners, and then now here we are. It actually was approved in 2009, the standards on EMR. So how far have the silos gone ahead of us? Now, the study is in a Perihapan center. It's a hospital that's a level 5 hospital, about 15 kilometers from the city of Nairobi. It normally has two systems. One system is the record system, and another one is the pharmacy system. The record system is maintained by a different partner. The pharmacy system also is maintained by a different partner. The record system captures patient personal information and biodata. It handles approximately around 8,000 records a month, and it's owned by, I can call it NGOA. A pharmacy system also captures information relating to drug logistics, management, and dispensing that handles approximately 4,000 patients who are on antiretroviral therapy and some are on care. It's also owned by NGOB. That's the scenario. Both systems, luckily, are developed in MS Access. They are created using Visual Basic Administration. However, the databases are split such that there is a front-end, forms, reports, and macro queries, and the back-end for tables that store data. Both systems generate antiretroviral therapy, that's ART reports quarterly for decision-making. These are the reports that normally are submitted to PEPFAR, Presidential Emergency Fund for AIDS Relief, and some are posted to the government. Now, if you bring that in mind, NGO A and B, we have patients on the same facility, but these NGOs do not share the data for the same patients that they are taking care of. Why? Because the systems are not talking, they are not interoperable. As I've demonstrated down here, we have the record system, it does its own things, it's a silo of its own, the pharmacy is also a silo of its own. What's the effect? Or why so? What's the reason behind that? As a country, we don't have a unique patient identification number. Why? Because of the vital records. The vital records are in a very infant stage in the country. It's now they are trying to collaborate with Kenya Revenue Authority, the department that issues personal identification numbers in the country, to see whether they can generate a unique a unique personal identification number, which eventually can lead to our hospitals to get a unique patient identification number. And what are the effects of that? We find that some patients, when they come to the clinic to pick their drugs, these are HIV and AIDS patients, some of them just go straight to the pharmacy for their monthly refills, the drugs that they normally take. Others go through the record section, they update their data there, and then they go to the pharmacy. Now, at the end of the month when we are reconciling the reports, we find that some patients are falsely labeled lost to follow up, like they didn't turn up at all. But ideally, they came for their refills, but they were not reflected in the other system. This leads to a situation where there's lack of data integrity due to duplication and repetition of patient personal information because there is lack of a data dictionary, and this may lead to high cases of treatment failure. So what questions can arise from here? From the study, these were the questions that came up. How is information for patients who visit the pharmacy directly for their monthly refills updated in the record system? As we know, for those who are medics here, for an HIV patient to be well managed, we have to monitor the CD4 count of the patient. So when the patient comes, he has to be observed, everything recorded so that we can see whether is the CD4 count going down or high. Is the patient improving? Is the immunity level okay? But now, if one data is updated, another one is not, how do we monitor these patients? Are they monitored comprehensively? That's the next question. How much is lost in terms of resources used for tracking patients who are actually picking their drugs because they are presented here as lost to follow up, and time, not only resources in terms of money, even time? How can home location of patients be tracked in order to determine if the distribution of care facilities is equitable? Why do I think of the home locations of patients? Because there are some patients, because of the poverty level, who may not even have transport to come to the clinic to get their monthly refill, so to be observed. Is there a way the government can come in, or as researchers, is there a way we can present to our implementers, at least to look for a way of tracing these patients so that they can also be put under care? So another question that was raised in the study: what is the solution to geocoding the individual physical address of patients in order to map the patient location? That's why the paper is about integration of disparate systems. We can't just leave it there because we are supposed to intervene in public health. So what other tool can we use to intervene on the ground? That's why I thought about GIS. So then what will be the solution? The solution will be to come up with a single record for each patient that contains information about the patient in one record. And this information then will be interfaced with a GIS tool. The methodology, the following steps were followed for this preliminary study. We reviewed the systems, and then the definition of the user and system requirements was also done, where a design of the new model was developed. And then from there, it was based on the principle of creating a shared information system whose goal is to get information together fast. We integrated the disparate systems, the silos. And then from there, use GIS to determine equitability of facilities, or to give a visual representation of the facilities we have on the ground. This was achieved through creating a master patient geocoded index for mapping the patient number so that the user can view data on patients all at once. This is the architecture of existing system for NGOA. This is before the integration. For those who are technical people, maybe can note that the database itself lacks maybe some normalization. So it also needed to be worked on before full integration can be achieved. This is the architecture of current system for NGOB. before integration also. This is just a snapshot. And then what will be the functional model of the integrated system? To bring about surveillance, security of the system, there has to be, when the users are logging in, there has to be a username and password entered, validation done, and then the databases are here standalone, because remember we are dealing with the two different partners. You can't just put this data together. Remember again, we don't have a unique identifier for these patients. The same patient can be represented as a different patient in the pharmacy. So we thought of coming up with a master patient geocoded data index, so at least the two databases can read. Okay, they can have the same patient here, at least recognize one patient as the same patient. What were the results? Patient identifier common in both systems now, using the patient geocoded, the master patient geocoded data index. There is a single record for each patient that contains information about the patient in one record. Duplication and redundancy, repetition of patient personal information is eliminated. This improves data integrity. There is also an enhancement of use of early warning indicators, which are really key in the management, in the care and management of people living with HIV and AIDS. The geocoded patient data mapped against geocoded facilities data to determine equitability of facilities or locations on the ground. What does this mean? You find that within a location, you can find there are so many facilities, but then the patients who go to those facilities are very few, maybe because of reasons of stigma, because they live around there, or because of the services that are being offered. Why should a patient leave going to a facility that's just next door and spend money, which is also scarce, to go to a very far clinic? That's maybe so. GIS here can be used by management for evidence-based decision-making, in the sense they should try to find out why our patients not in these facilities and now they are concentrated in a facility that's very far away. This is a map that shows the district. This is a map of Kenya. The district is around here. This is the map of the same district. As you can see, the greens, although they are not really very visible, they are kind of concentrated towards one side and not here. So you can ask yourself, or the management can ask themselves, why don't we have facilities up here? And we have small markets, small towns, we have villages there. Why do we have them down here? What's the reason? And how will the interfacing be done? The architecture of GIS component was done with a master patient geocoded database on the integrated database, kind of like a link. It exports data to the GIS tool, and then the GIS tool can import data from the International Livestock Research Institute, the Regional Center for Mapping and Research Development, Wild Food Program. These are the departments in the country that have, at least they have geodata coordinates that people can use also to enhance their systems. In this diagram, it can be used to inform management. For instance, if I take you back a little bit, there's a town here called Roiru that has about 42 facilities. If I look for Roiru in the map here, where is it? It's somewhere here, if you can see where the mouse is. Roiru is here. There's a major district hospital, a level 5 hospital here. But you find that there are so many facilities here. Was it really reasonable to have these facilities around here, around 40 facilities around here, when we have a main hospital here and this place is not as highly populated? Why don't we have other facilities up here, the way I always highly around demonstrated? sorry. So, the results from geodata interfacing with an integrated database can be used to inform management or decision making, not really to start putting up facilities where they are not supposed to be started. Also, to find out why some patient visit other facilities and not others. Is it the staff that we have on the ground that don't handle them well? And then analysis can be done, at least to find out the relationship between spread of disease and economic activity. Maybe that's why we have so many facilities there. We can also judge the equitable distribution of public health care resources and inform decision making. To conclude, integration of disparate health information systems leads to better health outcomes because it's an all-round, it's something that gives you an opportunity to look at what you're working on from both sides. On the ground, you look at the patients, the distribution of the facilities, you are looking at the data, you are managing your patients at the same time. So finally, it helps to improve health outcomes through interoperable health systems that promote sharing of patient information. GIS as a tool is very powerful in promoting evidence-based decision-making in public health interventions. Those were the references that I used when we were doing the research. For those ones who may be interested, go and read more on that. This is our fellowship class. We are only five. I'm the one who took the photo. That's why there are four. Thank you, Asante Sana. Those are my contacts. Bye.